Well, unbelievably, we've circled around yet another week. It's time for another edition of the Radio Voice of the Evangel Home in Fresno. Welcome to Heartline. Your host every week on Heartline is this guy right here, Jim Tuck.
Thank you, as always, Ken Adams. Do such a great job. And, occasionally I forget to mention Ken's name on the program, but I try not to do that. And there's a story behind that I'll tell you sometime. But anyway.
Oh, I'm ready now.
Well, when I started in radio in 1975, there were all these radio programs on, and rarely did they mention the name of the announcer, the guy or gal, whoever, that did the intro and the outro to the program. But there was one program that did, and I thought at the time, that is very classy because that's a ministry too. And it's not really thought of in the same terms sometimes as the other participants, but Ken's a master.
Yeah, he is.
Jerry, we have a very put-together young woman with us today, and I'm going to let you make the introduction, and then we want to find out about the not-so-put-together past of Erica.
Thank you, Jim. I think Erica is one of those still waters runs deep sort of person. Mm-hmm. She looks very calm and peaceful on the outside, but knowing the little I know about her and the troubles that brought her here, there was a lot of turbulence going on underneath. She's been with us, how long, Erica?
5 weeks in crisis and a month and a half in the garden.
Okay, so she's altogether here about 3 months. And during that time, it's just been fun to watch her deal with her own demons and just decide, hey, it's not getting any better. It's time that I do something. Mm-hmm. And one of the reasons that Erica is on the show today, we wanted to talk about the banquet. It's now been about 2 weeks. And it was just a glorious night, as you know, Jim. And I met with the women yesterday. And again, just applaud them because they all stood on the stage that night. And for our listeners who weren't there, there's not time for all of our women to give a testimony. So two of them gave verbal testimonies, but the rest of them at the end of the night shared their testimony in a simple sign that on one side of the sign were two words of described how they used to be, and on the other side is two words that describe how they are now, who they are becoming. Those are very, very, very powerful words. And when I look at the picture of Erica now with her sign the way she used to be and her sign the way she is becoming, that's the prayer, that's the passion that you have for each one of these women now, is to see where they've been and to see where they believe God is taking them. Mm. That's my prayer for Erica now, and she'll share that. I don't want to share her words, but that night was so special, and I want her to be able to share a little bit about that too, but I just admire her, Jim, for she came to the crisis home and has always, pitched in and done her fair share, has never argued about things. And as she said, she figured 28 days was enough to get her life on track. But she realized somewhere in there, maybe not 28 days. And she asked to go to the garden. That's our alternative sentencing and stronger drug and alcohol rehab place. She asked to go there. Mm-hmm. So, that tells you a whole lot. Mm-hmm. Most of our women who have asked to go there are people like Rosalind, people like Brandy, people that are just sick of how it's been and just they draw their own line in the sand and say, this is it. And, boy, there's a strength in those people that is different from many others. So yeah. I see that in Erica.
Wow. Yeah, that doesn't happen all that often.
Mm-mm.
So it's fun to watch, and I rejoice for you, Erica, because I track record in the past with other women who've done that is very good. Mm-hmm. Because that commitment, that drive to change is there, and that has to be there for that to happen. Okay, so you've been here about 3 months. Tell us about your background. How were you abusing substance?
Yes, I started off with painkillers. I had an injury back in 2004, and it just progressed from there. They put me on Vicodin and Soma, and slowly I got addicted to it, and I found myself abusing it and needing it on a daily basis. For that, I lost my third daughter. Her father took her away from me, and I haven't seen her in almost 2 years. From that point on, I turned to alcohol. to cover up that pain from stopping the pills. I still had the pain from losing my daughter. I drank and drank and drank for the past 2 years. And my family had been praying for me to come here for a year. And I kept saying, no, I can do it myself. I can do it myself. And I couldn't. I couldn't do it. I got to the point where my two oldest daughters, I could no longer care for them because alcohol became an everyday need. My body needed it or I couldn't function. So I sent my daughters to live with my mom, which it was good for them because they weren't around me to see my self-destruction. But it was also bad because it was easier for me to stay in my addiction and get worse.
So you, I sense that you have a pretty good family background.
Yes, my family have been praying for me for a year to come here. And finally, I said, you know what? I can't do this anymore. When I woke up in the morning, instead of having coffee, I had a beer or I had a drink. And I just got tired. I just was just run down, tired. So I came here. And I thought, okay, 28 days, I can do this. No problem. I'll be, you know, I've seen it in movies. You know, you go to a 28-day program.
And you become and you, the star yes. of the movie.
And you come out sober, and you're fine, and you're great.
And live happily ever after.
Exactly. So I was here for 5 weeks, and I fought it up until the end. And Gina, one of our house managers, seen something in me that I didn't see in myself. And she kept telling me, the first time I seen you, I knew you were going to the garden. And I prayed about it and prayed about it, and God showed me that, yeah, that's where you need to be. So I went, and I love it. And so, I'm just happy that I went.
Yeah, so you've been there about a month and a half. Any one class or part of the program that sticks out to you as especially helpful so far?
Codependency. I didn't realize how codependent I actually was.
Huh. Interesting. Let's talk about the banquet. You were up there with the sign. What two words did you use for the old Erica?
My first two words were broken and alcoholic, which that's exactly what I was before I came here. And my second words were optimistic and sober. And I'm so glad to be sober to this day. And just to go to the banquet and see everybody there and how many people actually support us, it was truly amazing. I have no words for it. I was just so put back by how many people actually care for us, and they don't even know who we are. It was just truly, truly amazing.
Yeah, you know, it was a kind of a spontaneous standing ovation for these women when they, after the last one was up there with their signs, because people do care.
They care a great deal. And I think, Jim, when our women realize how much the people care for them, it makes it much, I don't know if easier is the right word, but they realize that by just getting on the stage and doing that one little thing, that's a way to thank the people and to show them it does work, and Jesus does work, and all of those broken pieces is something to not be ashamed of. But when you flip those signs over, almost the Erica's broken pieces would be different than mine.
Right.
And so God uses her lack of whatever to become optimistic, her brokenness, where he might use my pride to become humble. It's going to be different broken pieces. He doesn't just take it all away and say, start over. It's like, oh, you got this pile of junk. Let me help you with it.
Yeah.
And I think, again, for our women to realize that's a way to say, thank you, Jim. Thank you, Sharon. Thank you, Bill. Thank you, whoever, for letting me stand in a place where I can flip the sign as God has flipped my life.
Yeah.
That makes it so much easier for the women to be able to get on that stage because they have a purpose outside of themselves.
Yes.
They're also thanking the folks.
Yeah, just talk through your experience at the banquet. What was a highlight? What was memorable for you? What made a difference?
I think it was to see how far the Evangel Home actually goes back. I've heard it, but to actually see faces and see testimonies from women so long ago and just the progress the home has made since then and the differences, and it's just really, truly amazing. It made me very happy that I could be a part of this home and it could change my life. And if you're really wanting it, it definitely works. I didn't think so, but it really does work.
You know, Jim, it's interesting because Erica is of an age and an era where she's long past black and white photos.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. I actually have a little great niece who thought black and white TV. That's because we had no color in those days. And it just
the world was colorless.
The world was black. She said, "You know, in the days before you had color, what are you talking about?" That's what she was talking about. So Erica, although is not quite of that generation, all she knew about our past was some black and white photos that she then saw that night. But Gina and some of the younger gals were so taken by those old-timers, where I really got very emotional when that beautiful picture of Keyston, that little boy, that first kind of modern wham, seeing his face up there just did it to me. But one of the things Gina said, there's a picture of a man. The crisis home here was just a frame. You know, we had the house on Van Ness, but they were building this one. And so you see this very dramatic sky and this man standing on a ladder, hammer above his head, mm-hmm. and he's pounding
framing
it. And that's how Gina ended her testimony, was basically saying she heard that man saying, "Thank you, Jesus. This nail on this wall is for Gina when she comes to this house to call home." It's like, yeah. Oh, wow. And I think that's the same feeling that Erica gets, that all those people did this for me, having no idea I would be here.
Yeah. Erica, I want to back up a little bit. You said your parents, your family have been praying for you to come here for a year. How are they related? How do they know about Evangel Home?
I believe it was somebody that my grandma goes to church with.
Okay.
They had mentioned the home to her, and she mentioned it to me, and she told my mom. My mom's been telling me for a year, and I was like, "Oh, I don't need that. I don't need that." And they got their prayer answered. And
So what was your first impression? You walked in and you looked around, you thought...
My first day, I cried. I think I cried the whole day because I felt alone. I felt nobody understood what I was going through. Everybody has their problems, but they don't know my problems. Mine are overwhelming. They can't be fixed. Mm. And everybody here just welcomed me, and I felt at peace, and I felt at home. And everybody was just so great, from the house managers to all the staff to all the residents that were here, truly made me feel at home.
All right. We don't have time for another question. But thank you for sharing.
Thank you.
I know it's sometimes not comfortable to dredge up that stuff, but thank you. I think it's important for our listeners and friends and supporters to hear it. And my listening friend, maybe you are where Erica was. There is hope. Why don't you give us a call, 264-4714. Jerry, you got 10 seconds. Holidays, what do we need?
We still need toilet paper, whether it's holidays or not. Toilet paper, and as Thanksgiving quickly approaches, that's always a time to restock the shelves with turkeys and canned food.
Turkeys, canned food, and toilet paper, not necessarily in that order. Thank you, my listening friend, for joining us. Thank you, Erica.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jerry. And we look forward to our next adventure here on Heartline, the radio voice of Evangel Home of Fresno.
The Evangel Home of Fresno can be found online at evangelhome.org. Again, evangelhome.org. The phone number in the 559 area code, 264-4714. I thank you for tuning in this week's edition of Heartline, the RV, the radio voice of the Evangel Home in Fresno, ministering to women and children in crisis since 1955.